This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Tuesday, April 5th, 2022. I'm Derek Gilbert. A special program today and a fun one for me as we get to talk some archaeology. Joining us is a gentleman who's at the center of some controversy at the moment because of a rather spectacular archaeological find announced just a week ago, recovered from the site of Joshua's altar. That's Mount Ebal in Israel. Controversial because that area is legally under the control of the Palestinian Authority. This small lead amulet or tablet, a curse tablet, so-called, has been deciphered, and we'll have him explain the significance of this discovery. He's the provost of the Bible Seminary in Katy, Texas, and we welcome Dr. Scott Stripling to the program for the first time. Scott, we have to ask, in terms of, well, for those of us who are lay people, don't understand how this rates as an archaeological discovery, how important is this find?
Well, Derek, thank you for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with your audience. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 10. It's huge, and it's an earthquake, and it has aftershocks that we're going to be dealing with for the rest of our lifetimes, for sure.
What is exactly this cursed tablet, and how did it come into your possession?
Well, this is a good question. We recovered this small folded lead tablet, 2 by 2 centimeters. If it were opened, it would be 4 by 2 centimeters, in a wet sifting expedition on Mount Ebal. Now, Adam Zertal had excavated there from 82 to 89. I had gone back to previous dump piles and had tested them, and they were full of archaeological material. In fact, we found more inscriptions in the dump pile than the archaeologists had published. And that means they were throwing away in the past the majority of the evidence. And so we thought, as important as this site was, and the fact that Zertal died before releasing his final publication, that we would go through the dump pile and see what we would recover. That's where we recovered the inscription. The tablet is what we call a defixio, or a cursed tablet. It's a known quantity. It matters here because it's on Mount Ebal, and the Bible says that Mount Ebal is the mountain of the curse, Mount Gerizim being in the mountain of the blessing, and that Joshua built an altar on Mount Ebal. It was from that altar discard material that Zertal's team had missed that we recovered this tablet.
So they went through and they dry sifted, and it was just missed, mistaken for a piece or a clump of dirt or something, and then the wet.
For like a stone chip.
Okay.
Just covered in dirt, looked like a stone. My team missed it also in dry sifting, because before we wet sifted, we had to re-dry sift again everything. Hmm. We didn't get it either. So, you know, it's a small tablet. It was only in the wet sift that we were able to see it.
So how was the text on the inside of this folded piece of lead? How big is this piece anyway? And how did you decipher the text on the inside?
All right, so it's 2 by 2 centimeters folded. And incidentally, there is text on the outside as well. Oh. That we have not released yet. We're just right now talking about the inside. Also, you may find this interesting that last week I went back through all of the Mount Ebal objects to just double check them. And we also have a stylus, a pen from the time as well. So we may actually have the pen that wrote the inscription as well. Which Wow. is very interesting.
And the text itself is, how does this connect to the Bible?
All right. So the Bible says that they had a covenant renewal ceremony with the curses being pronounced from Mount Gerizim. What it seems like we have here in this 40-letter proto-alphabetic script, which is hundreds of years older than any known Hebrew script, it says, essentially, Arur, cursed, 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 cursed by the God Yahweh. So there you have the covenant name of God, hundreds of years older than any reference in Israel. I mean, we've got it mentioned in Egypt at the Soleb hieroglyph. You have it in the Sinai at Kuntilet Arur. But here we have the covenant name of God, Yahweh, right next to the name El. So these proponents of the documentary hypothesis who say that the Bible wasn't written until the times of Josiah or the Hellenistic period, because El and Yahweh sources are different sources. They didn't exist at the same time. We've got El and Yahweh juxtaposed right next to each other. That's enormously important. Mm-hmm. So here we have a proto-alphabetic script proving that the Bible could have been written in the times of Moses, because if you did not have a phonetic alphabet, then in Middle Egyptian with 700 characters or whatever there is, it would have taken a library to have written it. But here with an alphabetic script, it could be written just as the Bible says.
So the Hebrews in the time of Joshua or shortly thereafter, we now have documentation that they were able to write in an alphabetic or a proto-alphabetic script, which blows the theory out of the water that there's no way the books of the Pentateuch could have been written by Moses or one of his scribes.
Right. And of course, Jesus said that Moses wrote it.
Yes.
You know, but that's a good starting point right there. And so the Bible, when we're dealing with liberal scholarship, many times the Bible is guilty until proven innocent. And that becomes harder for them to argue from this point on.
What is the process? The science behind this is fascinating to me. This lead tablet, very fragile. How did you extract the information from the inside of this folded lead piece of lead?
Okay, well, it's not as fragile as you might think. It was only fragile if we tried to open it. So In our lab in Jerusalem, we did, with Israel's top conservationist there, we did very delicately and carefully attempt to see if there was any malleability. Could it be open? And there was not. The corner began to crumble. The pictures that you've seen has a little break on one corner. That's what happened. So, of course, we stopped. Fortunately, we were able to then take that lead. We saved that little broken corner, had it tested at Hebrew University, and Professor Naama Yahalom Mack, a renowned archaeologist, has now given me her findings, which will be part of our report. The lead came from Greece, from the Aegean, from a place called Lavrion, mines that we know were in use in the late Bronze Age.
Ah.
So, you know, even though it was unfortunate that tiny bit of the corner broke, it did then give us the opportunity to test that lead.
Mm-hmm. And speaks to
but
more.
We recovered the text from tomographic scans. We began to look for a place that had expertise in scanning through lead. My thought, I knew we could scan through some metals and we could scan through paper, but you know, you go to the doctor to get x-rays and they put this lead vest on you,
right?
Like you can't scan through. Well, apparently you can scan through lead. And there was this lab in Prague that had published articles, you know, where they had scanned through thin lead tablets, medieval period, but still, it doesn't matter. If you can do it, you can do it. And I'd been locked out of Israel. See, when we did this in December 2019, I assumed I'd be back in a few months. The whole process would move pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But because of the worldwide health crisis, I couldn't get in. It was in storage, the tablet and everything else. So finally, a few months ago, 4 or 5 months ago, I was allowed ingress and I was able to get the process rolling. We discovered that right off the bat that there was text. Now it took, and these are thousands of high-tech scans that are being done, and you've got to get it. Each one is going to one level, and then I don't even know, the millimeter is not a good enough term. There's this tiny, tiny fractional changes to get each slice through until we clearly then could see text. The first letter that I saw was an aleph, you know, a very ancient aleph, an ox head that's morphing into an aleph. I was in shock, you know, at this point, because that's the earliest proto sort of alphabetic script. And I thought, well, the first letter of curse, arud in Hebrew, is aleph. So wouldn't it be interesting if it had a resh next to it? And then we saw the resh, and then it began to unfold and just was phenomenal. Each day we were seeing new letters and then words that were emerging. So it's been a very interesting process.
So this connects it to the covenant renewal, as you said, in Joshua 8 with the mountain of blessing and the mountain of curse. Fascinating stuff. One of the things about the site of Joshua's altar that we find really intriguing is that it's on the west, or rather the east slope of Mount Ebal, rather than the south slope, because the modern Samaritan community on what they call Mount Gerizim is south of is on the opposite side of the valley, south of Mount Ebal. This would suggest that Mount Kevir, east of east of this site, is the actual historical Mount Gerizim, doesn't it?
That's what Adam Zertal thought. He favored Kevir. Kevir, incidentally, has never been surveyed. So this whole thing was found as part of the Manasseh Hill Country Survey. But Zertal's survey led up to Mount Kevir, one phase of it, and then the next phase started on the other side of Mount Kevir. But somehow Mount Kevir got left out.
Huh.
And so just recently, Shai Bar, who has taken over Zertal's work at Haifa University, I mean, within the last few weeks, it's being surveyed. And a member of my team, Abigail Levitt, who's my assistant director, is participating in that survey. So I'm kind of getting information hot off the press there. But, you know, we'll see what that shows us.
That would be very interesting. I know that our mutual friend Aaron Lipkin has been up there. He's flying his drone across the valley over to the site of Joshua's altar from Mount Kavir. So maybe we can get Aaron to do a little reconnoitering for us until that report is issued. Dr. Scott Stripling, archaeologist and provost of the Bible Seminary in Katy, Texas. Scott, thank you for taking time out of your schedule today.
Happy to be with you.
The press coverage has generally been neutral on this, but the critics are beginning to come out. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz yesterday wrote an article that appeared to dismiss the significance of the finding because it's a conservative Christian associated with the Associates for Biblical Research. They're trying to prove the Bible, and so they're biased. They extracted it from Mount Ebal under suspicious circumstances, and so on. A number of things that really don't have anything to do with whether or not this tablet is what the experts say it is and whether it says what they say it does. That has not yet been addressed. Now, there will be a peer-reviewed paper coming out later this year. We will be talking about that in the weeks and months ahead. But these are exciting times to be alive because many discoveries coming out now that show that the history included in the Bible, recorded in the Bible, even though the Bible is not a historical document or not a book of history primarily, the history recorded in the Bible is, in fact, accurate. And we'll tell you how you can join us and see the site of the recovery of this tablet, Mount Ebal, Joshua's altar, as 5 and 10 continues after this.
The world is plunging towards chaos as the return of our Savior draws nigh. SkyWatch TV is proud to present the coming Rapture exclusive offer. When you order Terry James and Pete Garcia's new book, The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World, from the SkyWatch TV store. You'll also receive Jonathan Brentner's hope-filled book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, which will invigorate you with a sense of peace and victory amid the chaos that surrounds us. And you'll receive the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James, Pete Garcia, and Jonathan Brentner team up to disclose what the Bible actually has to say about the judgments of Revelations and the imminency of the rapture. While hundreds of biblical experts point out the ever-increasing ways that individual freedoms are becoming perpetually threatened, global elites aggressively strive towards a one-world government and universal financial currency, and all accounts appear to be setting the end-time stage for fulfillment of God's prophetic word. The Disappearing, Future Events That Will Rock the World, chronicles what events are set in motion now that are driving the prophetic final act of human history, and will bring to you God's prophetic timeline in detail from this present moment. Vivid depictions of unfolding events immediately following the rapture and beyond, through planet Earth's judgment and ultimate restoration. A dramatic, eye-opening presentation of the rapture itself and what happens to children in the mysterious disappearance. Also, the new book, The Triumph of the Redeemed, is a must-have manual of hope and strength in the end times. Join Jonathan Brentner as he helps you to grasp the eternal perspective during life's painful circumstances. In this vital resource, you will develop a firm foundation regarding the return of Jesus and in other areas, such as our reception of immortal and imperishable bodies, our participation in a jubilant celebration followed by a wedding feast, our return to earth and thousand-year reign with Jesus, and our life in paradise, dwelling in the New Jerusalem and exploring the new earth. But that's not all. This incredible offer also includes the never-before-released DVD, The Coming Judgments, where Terry James and Pete Garcia delve into great detail on the seal, trumpet, and bowl judgments listed in the book of Revelation. This exclusive DVD also features Jonathan Brentner's presentation entitled Hope in the Rapture. You'll be shocked when you find out why the Thessalonians were grief-stricken regarding the rapture upon receiving the Apostle Paul's first letter, and how you can be free from this very same trap, all included in the brand new DVD, The Coming Judgments. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $65. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So while the world continues to storm, grab hold of the eternal perspective and be ready for the return of the King. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Coming Rapture exclusive offer. Available now at SkyWatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Archaeology will be one of the subjects that we cover at SkyWatch TV's next virtual conference, The Unveiling. This will launch on the web May 13th, 12:01 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone in the U.S. on Friday, May 13th. That's UTC-5, so if you're elsewhere in the world, it will at least be daylight when the videos are released to the Internet. More than 24 cutting-edge presentations from archaeologists, theologians, prophecy experts, experts in geopolitics and theopolitics, if you will. And you'll find them all at defenderconference.com. A list of all the speakers and a place for you to register. And if you do so by, or rather through April 15th, the price is $10 reduced. It is just $85, our $10 early bird discount. If you register from April 16th through, or well, after April 16th, the price will go up to $95. Again, find out more and register online at defenderconference.com, defenderconference.com, or scan the QR code on your screen. During the month of April, our gift to you, our thanks to you for your support of any amount is the first novel in Sharon's supernatural thriller series, The Red Wing Saga, Blood Lies. This is your chance to get hooked on some fiction that teaches spiritual warfare, spiritual truths. It's speculative, but it's wonderful storytelling. You'll fall in love with the characters. And we will send Blood Lies to you for your gift of any amount during the month of April. You set the price if you're in the U.S. or Canada. And as our thank you, we will send you a copy of Sharon's Blood Lies. And then you'll want books 2 through 7 and then number 8, which is kind of our plan. We want to thank you for your support because we can't do what we do without it. And again, this is our special gift for your support during the month of April. Find out more online, skywatchtv.com/donate, or visit skywatchtvstore.com. Our tour of Turkey, lined up for October 18th through November 3rd of this year. We're going to visit the cities of the churches of Revelation. We will visit the gates of hell. That's our nickname for the Plutonion, which was a site sacred to the god of the underworld, Pluto, Hades, or Mott in the Canaanite pantheon. Those are among the sites we'll visit. We'll also go to Göbekli Tepe, the fascinating site described by archaeologists as the world's oldest religious community. They date it to more than 10,000 years old. That's their standard dating, of course, but it is definitely pre-flood. And what was the influence of the Watchers, the angelic beings who mingled with humanity in the pre-flood era on this site? We will talk about that during the tour. It will be a rolling tour across Turkey. We'll also visit Abraham's hometown of Haran, and we'll explain why Abraham came from what is now Turkey, not ancient Sumer. Abraham was not a Sumerian. That and more. You can find out all the information, a sample itinerary, and breakdown of costs, and a place to register, of course, online at skywatchinturkey.com, skywatchinturkey.com, or scan the QR code on your screen. Now, Israel, including Joshua's altar, the Mount of Olives, the Temple Mount, all of these on the itinerary when we return to the Holy Land next spring, March 19th through 30th of 2023. Sharon and I, along with our colleagues from SkyWatch TV, Allie Henson, Donna Howell, and our good friend Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat from Tel Aviv, we will take you through places that other tours just will not go, like Joshua's Altar. We will go to Beth El. We will visit Gilgal Rephaim, the mysterious circular-shaped monument in the Golan Heights, and the newly recognized Serpent Mound of Bashan as well, a three-quarter-mile-long, 200-foot-wide, 25-foot-tall serpent-shaped ridge covered with 140 megalithic tombs. How does that relate to the ancient cult of the dead, the veneration of the Rephaim? We'll talk about all of that during our tour, and please take the optional 3-day extension to Jordan as we take you to Petra, explain why that is historically and prophetically significant, and show you the view from Mount Nebo, the mountain of the Avarim, mountain of the travelers, and why Ezekiel in the War of Gog and Magog makes reference to travelers. Find out more, sample itinerary, breakdown of costs, and a place to register at skywatchinisrael.com, skywatchinisrael.com, or use the QR code on your screen. This week, we're talking prophecy on SkyWatch TV. Experts Jonathan Brentner, Terry James, and Pete Garcia join Joe Horn, Tom Horn, and the SkyWatch investigative team. Don't miss the program. These are dynamite and very, very relevant right now Our broadcast schedule for our over-the-air programs posted at skywatchtv.com/channels. If you've got Roku or Apple TV, add the SkyWatch TV app to those devices because that bypasses the gatekeepers on the internet. It brings it right to your television set. Of course, if you've got the SkyWatch TV mobile app, which is free, you can cast the video from your phone or tablet to your TV as well. If it's a relatively recent smart TV, it is probably compatible with either Apple's AirPlay or Google's Chromecast. And then you can just fling or cast the video to the big screen without wires. Modern technology, ain't it great? Our mobile app works for iOS and Android devices and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. It is free, and we have links to their app stores at skywatchtv.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.